Dear congregation, we all from time to time stand at crossroads in life, times in which we need to decide which way is best. Where do I go? Where should I go? These are questions that not only young people ask when they make plans for the future. Life is full of choices each and every day. And unless we're simply coasting or drifting along in life, we can sometimes be very confused as to how to take the next step, what direction we should go. And this is not just true on a small scale, with little decisions day to day, but this is also true on the grand scheme of life. With issues that concern how do I live in this world? How can I live? Many live relying on themselves. Though the Bible calls us to rely on God. And so whether it is in the small areas of life or the big areas of life, which way to travel to a never-ending eternity, the question for all of us is, who is your guide? Who is leading you? Who is directing your life? Well, our text gives some sure guidance to all who will hear. No matter how confused or lost they may feel themselves to be, and guidance not just for this life, but guidance for the next phase of life, for eternity. And this we see with the Lord's help in our text, which is drawn from the chapter that was read in your hearing, Isaiah 30, and especially now verse 21. Isaiah 30, verse 21, where we read these words, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Thus far our text. Our theme with God's help is, this is the way. We'll see, first of all, the word behind us, what that means. Secondly, what that word says. And thirdly, the command that's joined to that word. This is the way. The word behind us, what the word says, and the command joined to this word. Well, Isaiah writes the things in this chapter during very troublous and threatening times. Judah was being invaded by the Assyrian armies, which wreaked havoc wherever they went. And the people were understandably afraid, not knowing what was going to happen. And when we are afraid, what our heart says a lot about us. And when we are afraid, we often want encouragement, don't we? And good counsel, but it may be that we need some warning. And that warning comes in the opening verse of this chapter, where the Lord says, and you may want to follow along as we look at the context here, where the Lord says, "Woe to the rebellious children that take counsel, but not of me. And that cover with a covering, but not by my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked of my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt." What is the Lord saying here? Well, what was happening was Israel was feeling itself, Judah was feeling itself threatened. And their instinct was, who can help us? Who is strong to help us at this critical time? And their minds went to Egypt, to the Egyptians, to the south. And so they sent an embassy to Egypt to look to them for help. And what they were doing there was they were doing what the Bible says not to do, both now and back then. And that is, put not your trust in princes, nor for help on man depend. The Lord is very jealous of his own honor. He wants us to look to him and to him alone for all help. And that's why Isaiah goes on to say, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this, their strength is to sit still," verse 7. In other words, the Lord is saying, Egypt is not going to help you. Not at all. If you really want to have strength, then sit still and look to me. Now even the children here know that sometimes the hardest thing is to sit still. When your mother or your father says to you, you know, just sit still. Just stop moving around. Inaction, especially when we feel threatened, is sometimes the hardest thing to do. People talk about a fight or flight instinct. And then to have faith and to sit still and wait for God is the hardest thing. But that's what the Lord says. And the Lord said this to Judah, and do you know what they did? Judah plugged its ears to God's message. You can read of this in verse 10, where they say to the prophets, whether they said this literally or in their hearts is not stated, but the Lord knows what's in your mind and what's in your heart, whether you say it out loud or not. And this is what the Lord heard the people say, "Prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us." In other words, we don't like this message. We want our own message. And don't tell us things that are hard. Take the rough edges off of the preaching. We want smooth things. We want things that go down smoothly and easily. Or we might say in our day, sugarcoat the message so that it's easy to swallow. Now that sounds terrible, doesn't it? And it is terribly unwise. But don't you see our hearts by nature? We do want smooth things. We don't want things that cost us and that go against our nature. And when the people heard this, they wanted God out of the way. They said, basically they said there, let God be not in front of us. Let God not be there before us. Instead, they have their own solution, verse 16. "We will flee upon horses." We're going to escape from these Assyrians, and we're going to do so on horses. Whether Egypt gives us these horses or wherever we can find these horses. And young people and children, horses back then were a sign of military strength. So what they're saying here is we're going to lean on the arm of the flesh, on political or military power and control. And the Lord says to them, "You want to flee? You will flee. But you'll flee from your enemies who will pursue you, and it won't end well." And the chapter goes on to speak about the situation that they will be in. There will be bread of adversity and water of affliction. In other words, famine will come, all because they've gone their own way. Hardship, poverty, and distress. That's where it goes when we lean on our own devices. And yet, so amazingly, the Lord doesn't leave it at that. The Lord could, in a certain sense, but he doesn't. Because look at verse 18. "Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you." Here the Lord has the long-term view, and it's a view of grace and of mercy, which is so deep in his heart and soul and so strong that even man's rebellion can't thwart it. God says, "You won't wait, you won't sit still, but I'll wait. I'll wait that I might be gracious unto you. I have purposes of peace deep within my soul for sinners, and I will wait to show that grace. And what shape does that grace take, congregation? Well, the Lord makes it very clear in the words of our text. He tells us what he will do. And he says, thou shalt hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. What a mercy that the Lord has in his heart for sinners. And notice a few things about this word behind you. First of all, these people will hear it. It doesn't say here, there shall be a word behind you. That would be one thing that the Lord says, you know, there will be a voice behind you. That would be mercy. But thine ears shall hear a voice behind you. You will hear this voice. I'll make sure of it. You won't be able to ignore it any longer. You will hear this voice. So they will hear this voice. But secondly, and more majorly here, it's a voice behind them. Now it's interesting, isn't it? Back in verse 11, I don't know if you caught that, but the Lord said there that these people, they want God out of their way. They want God to cease from before them or in front of them. In other words, God is blocking the way, and these people say, God, away. We want to go our own way. They don't want God in front of them. They don't want God leading them and God guiding them. God must go. They want to go their own way. They want to follow their own devices. They want to follow their own counsel, their own imagination. But God, who waits to be gracious, makes sure that that's not the end. You will hear a voice behind you. You'll hear a word behind you, coming from behind you. You've turned your back on me. But I, who wait to be gracious, I will speak. You don't want me in front of you leading you, and yet I'll be gracious from behind you. And let me give you a picture of this. Children, imagine you're hiking with your parents, and this is a long hike. This is not just a 15-minute, 20-minute hike. Let's say it's a whole day hike, and you're excited. And there you go through these trees, and you're winding your way, and you so want to see what's on the other side, maybe a lake or something else that you know is over there, and you think you know the way. And so you run ahead, and there you go. You're taking your own way, and you think you know where to go. And maybe if you had a map, you threw your map away, but you trust your instincts, and there you go. You don't wait for your parents, you don't listen to your parents, and there you go. Until you turn around and you have no idea where you are. And your parents, you don't see them, you don't hear them, and you're all alone. And imagine a thunderstorm or something else that's threatening, and you stop and there's a crossroads here. You can go this way or you can go that way. And you have no idea what you should do. That would be awful, wouldn't it? But imagine that as you're waiting there, all distressed, all worried, all anxious, that you hear behind you a voice. You recognize it. It's your dad's voice. There, behind you. Something inside of you says, oh, what a relief. There's a way out. And of course you turn, don't you? When there's a voice behind you, you turn. But that voice behind you tells you there is hope. And dear congregation, that is a picture, just a small picture, but that's a picture of what God does when he comes after his wayward, wandering creature. You and me, who were so bent on going our own way. We knew it all so well. We knew the way. And we left, as it were, reverently speaking, we left the Lord in the dust, and we went onward, onward, onward into our lostness, wandering from God. But then there is this voice behind you which represents the way back, the way back. But notice thirdly about this voice, this word behind you, is when someone speaks behind you, you can't see them unless you turn. And so to the Lord, when he speaks from behind us, wandering as we are from him, we don't see him, but he sees us and he knows us. And when God reaches us in our lost estate, wandering from him, he speaks and we have some sense. God sees me. God knows me. I have wandered from him. I've gone my own way. But like Hagar, we say, I was seen of him that I looked not for. The Lord sees and the Lord speaks. The Lord calls. The Lord beckons. The Lord directs. And even if we don't see him, he sees you, wandering sinner, tonight. You've lost your way. And there's a voice, the voice in our text, the voice of a God who sees every wandering sinner. And he's not silent. He speaks. And wonder of all wonders. You'd imagine, what do you imagine? You'd imagine that this voice would threaten, that there would come a judge, and afterward, well, that's what you deserve. But instead, there's a voice that says, this is the way. This is the way, lost sinner. You've wandered, but I know the way. And this is the way. Do you see, congregation? The Lord waits to be gracious. There's no other explanation. He waits to be gracious to wandering, lost children of Adam, the word behind us. But secondly, what does this voice say? Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. You know, when you're truly lost, children, like just in that example I gave just earlier, there's no more better words than, this is the way. Here's the way out. Here's the way back. This is where you can find what you're looking for. And this is indeed what the Word of God says, really, on every page in a certain sense. We open it wherever, and the Bible is saying, this is the way. This is the way out of your sin, out of your misery, out of your lostness. Here's the way out. The Bible says we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed. Congregation, that is what the Bible is saying. It comes as a word that is full of direction and really full of amazing gospel. Really, when you look at this phrase, this is the way, you see so much gospel. And this is what the people during the day of Isaiah needed too. They needed a way out, a way of deliverance, a way of salvation. And so do we, whoever we are. We need a way out of our misery, out of our sin, out of our lostness. And we want to see six things about this way, based especially on the context. First of all, when the Lord says, this is the way, it's a way of repentance. This is a way back to him. We just saw that we come to these crossroads, don't we? Where we could go to the left or we could go to the right, and there's a voice behind us that says, this is the way. In other words, turn. The way's back. The way's to me. Return unto me. In other words, turn around. Spurgeon, in a sermon on this text, he says, sinners will sometimes roam to the right. Other sinners will wander to the left. But they need to realize that they need a turnaround. Do you want to know the way to heaven? It is right about face and goes straight on, straight to glory. That's what the Word of God says. Turn, sinner, whoever you are. Don't go to the left. Don't go to the right. But turn around to the living God and go straight back to Him, straight on to glory. Your congregation, this way that the Lord speaks about here is the way of repentance, the way of turning unto God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backsliding. I will show you mercy. I will show you grace. And this is what the Lord has been saying all along in this chapter. Return, ye backsliding children. In verse 15, for example, he says, in returning, you shall be saved. That's what the Lord says throughout the Bible. Turn unto me, and I will be gracious unto you. Well, my dear friends, are you returning unto the Lord? That's what you must do. That's what we must do together, corporately. We must return unto the Lord. Hosea 6, verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And if you find yourself today saying, but I can't turn, then pray, my friend, turn thou me, and I shall be turned. This is the way, a way of repentance, a way back to the Lord. But secondly, this is a way of rest and of submission. Look with me again at verse 15. Verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. The way back to God is a way, secondly, of resting in Him, of submitting to Him. In other words, don't go to Egypt. Don't lean on your own devices, but rely on the living God. And congregation, this is the message of the gospel to sinners far and wide. Don't try to work your way up to heaven, but rest, believe in God. To him that worketh not, but believeth that God justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You see, congregation, God's way for sinners is to fall on the outstretched arm of a God who comes seeking those who are lost. My friend, I'm asking you today whether you have heard this voice saying, turn around, turn back. Turn back and rest. But thirdly, this way of the Lord is the way of peace. You see, when God speaks to the sinner who has wandered from the path, he has in his heart designs of peace. He has a way in which the sinner can be reconciled with him, brought into fellowship with him again. Think about that sinner here tonight. You've strayed from God, and as a result, there's been a divorce. There's been a breach. There's been a large gap between you and God. And how can that ever be breached? How can that ever be made up? It can only be made up by the God of peace who says, I have found a way. I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And I can give peace through the gospel of my Son. It's a way of repentance, it's a way of rest and of submission to the Lord, but it's a way of peace, and it's fourthly a way of life. It's an amazing thing that the Lord comes to fallen and lost and wandering sinners, and he says, I have everything you need to live again. In me is everything that you could ever need. When you look later down in the chapter, especially in verses 23 and 24, the Lord promises vitality, verdancy. Then shall he give the rain of thy seed, and thou shalt sow the ground with all the bread of the increase of the earth, and it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures. The oxen likewise and the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. And on every high hill, every high mountain, there shall be rivers and streams of water. The Lord will give a new life, new strength, new vitality. He will give everything that sinners need. Sometimes sinners, when they come back to God, they say, well, yes, but how will I ever go forward? And the Lord says, I am everything to you. I am your life. I am your strength. I am your power. I am your vitality. The Lord is the way to life. But this way back to God is also a way of light. Look with me at verse 26. Amazing verse. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold, as the light of 7 days in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. In other words, the Lord is saying there, I am everything. I am not only life, but I am light. Imagine that, children, that in the middle of the night you would look through your window and there you'd see the moon and it would shine as the sun. It would be light. It would be like the noonday sun. The Lord says, I'll give that. You have wandered far from me. It's become night in your life. You can scarcely make out the way forward. My friend, turn back to God. He's promised such light, such radiance, such brightness. Incredible. That's what the Lord promises on this way back to him. But congregation, this way that the Lord is speaking of, don't you see that this way is really himself? When he says here, this is the way, he might as well have said, I am the way. And didn't he say that? Didn't the Lord Jehovah say that when he came to this earth? And when Philip said, show us the Father, and it's enough for us. Jesus says, Philip, have I been so long with you, and you don't know the way? You don't know the Father? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way. It's no more difficult than that. I am the way. I'm not just a signpost. So there's the way. You go the whole distance. And the Lord is not just a guide on the way, but he is the way. He's everything to take a lost sinner back to God. I once heard an Ethiopian Christian speak. He had been in government many years. He had represented communism in his own government, and he had been an atheist through and through. And he was accused of crimes, and he ended up in prison, in jail. And he tried to take his own life. He first dabbled with Islam, trying to figure out if maybe Islam had something for him. He tried to take his own life, and they put him in a hospital. And there he was, and he was flanked by security guards and all that. And there was a nurse, a simple nurse who came and was tending to him. And one of the times she was there, she left a little tract, a little Christian tract next to his bed. And on the front of the tract, it said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus." And the way the man told this to me was that in that moment, by light from on high, he knew what he had never known. And that was that the true way to life was through Jesus Christ. And that he, as a wandering sinner, had gone so far, so long, so far from God, even trying to take his own life. And there, right in front of him, through the simple act of witness of a nurse, just being faithful to her master, he recognized that the Lord Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. And congregation, may that same message reach us, whoever we are, wherever tonight finds us. My friend, how long have you wandered? How far have you wandered? Don't you hear tonight, not my voice, but God's voice behind you? You don't see him. You can't understand it. You don't have any understanding of why the Lord would do this for you or do this to you. But a voice saying, "This is the way. I am the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life." But how, Lord, how can I ever go back to a holy God? I am the way. But all my sin, I am the way. But all my debts, I am the way. But all this guilt that I've heaped up on my life, I am the way. I am the way back to God. I've come all this way from the height of heaven to seek you, lost sinner, wanderer from God, always going your own way, always thinking you knew best. And I've come all the way. I've come all the way to the cross of Calvary, where I say loud and clear with my arms stretched out wide to sinners everywhere, "Don't you see how on the cross of Calvary, God has made a way where there was no way for lost sinners to go back to him?" Don't his outstretched arms say that to a wandering and perishing world? The Lord Jesus is the way back to God. Doesn't that vertical crossbeam in a certain sense point upward and say, "I can take you back to God from whom you've strayed"? And doesn't that horizontal crossbeam, as it were, reach out from east to west and say, wherever you find yourself, even the furthest possible on the face of this earth, there's a way back to the Father through me. In my death on the cross, I give life. In my bearing the curse of the cross, I make peace through the way of the cross. I give rest to the weary. I give life to those who are dead. I give blessing to those who feel themselves cursed. I'm everything. And congregation, don't think it's far away. The word is nigh unto thee, the Bible says. It's very close. It's in your own mouth as you're saying these things. Is it possible that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, even for me? It's even in your mouth. It's even in your heart. The word of faith which we preach, it's the voice that's behind. It's the word that's behind. And the Lord will take care of everything. Their strength is to sit still. Just lean. Just fall back. Just rest in the outstretched arms of a Savior who walks, who is the way, and who says here, thirdly and finally, in this command joined to his word, he says, walk in it. Because congregation, and may the Lord bind this upon our hearts tonight. You didn't just come here, I hope, tonight just to hear this word, to hear this voice behind sinners, calling, directing sinners. Because the Lord adds a command. It's a gracious command, but listen to it. You shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. In English, that sounds like you'll hear a voice behind you when you're about to turn to the right hand or when you're turning to the left. He'll tell you, go right, go left. That's not what it means. It's clear from the Hebrew. But the voice, as you stand at that crossroads, is saying to you, don't go right, don't go left, but turn to me, and I'll lead you, and I'll give you all that you need. But walk in me. Walk this way that is Christ. Walk in him. You see, congregation, there's something in all of us that goes either right or goes left. The way I like to picture this is, I don't know if you've had an axle maybe on your car or your truck that's bent, and it just tends a certain way. If you take your hands off the wheel and you let your car go, it'll go into this ditch, or maybe it'll go into this ditch. And that's how the sinner is. He loves to go right, he loves to go left. And the Bible knows this. And that's why the Lord many times in Deuteronomy 5 and Deuteronomy 17, 28, Joshua 1, the Lord is constantly saying, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't go right. Don't go left. And this is what people do. They do this in politics, you know, the right and the left. People in business, they're either conservative in business or progressive in business. That's the human tendency. But the Bible says, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Turn around to God. Charles Spurgeon, in his sermon on this text, he says, some men like right-hand sins, respectable sins, which people around them scarcely censure. They're respectable sins that everyone does, and no one calls you out on them. They're religious sins. They're whitewashed sins. Such people on the right are not thieves. They're not licentious. They're not drunkards. Their sins take a quieter form. They mock God with their self-righteousness. They insult him with their prayers, which are no prayers, but only pretenses and fictions. They're not real prayers, born out of real need, crying unto God. And others have left-hand sins. They plunge into the sins of the flesh. No vice is too bad for them. But to all, whether they're on this right way of religion or the wrong way of wandering, they're all wandering. And the voice behind them says, don't go right, don't go left, turn to God. Or like Spurgeon says in his sermon, come to Jesus, come to holiness, come to heaven, come by the straight and narrow path that leads to heaven. and walk in him. What does it mean, congregation, to walk in this way? Well, first of all, it means a turning to God, a turning around from facing sin and lostness and wandering. You turn back to God. Like the prodigal in the far-off country, what had he done? He had gone the left road to rebellion. And there had been a voice behind him, maybe the voice of his conscience, we could say, and the voice of providence. And he ran out of money, but he enslaved himself yet further until he came to the point where he came to himself. We'd say in the words of our text, he heard the voice behind him. The voice of the Father, the voice of the Father's love. And he turned around and he said, I will arise and I will go back to my Father. And I will say, Father, I've sinned. You see, that's what the way back is. And that's what it means to walk, is to put the one foot in front of the other. And God will teach you, sinner, the way that you should go. But it is the way back. It is going back until that embrace of the Father, until his arms are wrapped around your shoulders and he gives you everything that you need and he shows you mercy. But to walk like that, step by step. And this truly, in a certain sense, is faith. It's not a working. It's not something that we act out ourselves, work up within ourselves. No, not at all. The apostle says we walk by faith. We walk by faith. That's what he says. How do I walk on this road? By faith. Like Abraham, when God came, when that voice behind him reached him there in Ur of the Chaldees, as you heard on Wednesday night, then that voice reached him. And he walked. He didn't know where he was going, but he went God's way. And God's way is always a straight way. It's the way that God paves. And behind him, he will lead you. He will guide you. He won't leave you to yourself. He'll lead you every step of the way. What a beautiful way this is. Yes, it's costly. It costs you yourself. It costs you your sins, but that's a blessed cost. And it's a safe way. The Bible says that the wayfaring man, though a fool, shall not err therein. God will make sure of it. The most simple person here, when he or she goes the way of the Lord, God will see to it. Sometimes the most simple trust that we could ever have in the Lord, that's the basic thing. That's the good thing. That's the safest. So when we bring our own mind to the table and say, but yeah, it can't be this. It can't be what the Lord says. It has to be this or that. Oh, dear friends, like we read about Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place that he should afterwards receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. Dear friends, and God's word is your guide. It's a compass. Thy word is a lamp unto me, and a light upon my path. If you go in all the need of your life and you open this book and you say, Lord, speak for the next step, the Lord will give you that next step. He will lead you in his truth. He promises, I will lead the blind by a way they know not. I will lead them every step of the way. And so, congregation, as we close this evening, there's two conditions that you're in tonight. And I pray that God would make you to see which it is and that he would make you obey his word. Some of you are at a crossroads, or maybe you've gone down a road a very long time. You thought to know best. You threw away what your parents taught you. You threw away what the Bible taught you. And you went according to your own wisdom, the wisdom of your friends. And you knew best. You had things to do. You had pleasures to enjoy. You wanted to taste what life was really all about. but you're lost. And tonight there's a voice behind you. I pray you would hear it. I pray that your ears would be unplugged, that you would hear this voice of a God who waits to be gracious, that says, this is the way. I am the way. Walk in me. Perhaps that voice is very strong right now. My friend, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way. That's it. Perhaps it's faint, but it's a voice. Take your fingers out of your ears. The voice is loud and clear. The voice comes from the cross of Calvary to you in your sin. And it says, sinner, turn around. I am the way. Walk in me. And notice, congregation, that the Lord doesn't say, I am the way, think about it, consider it. No. He says, walk. Do you dare disobey his divine command tonight? He says, this is the way, walk in it. Yeah, but I'm such a sinner. If you knew how long, how deep I sinned. I can't even tell you how much I've sinned. My friend, don't you realize that he is this way for sinners? In the depth of your sin, it matters not. Whether you're on the right or on the left, whether you've respectably sinned all your life, or whether you've disastrously sinned all your life, it makes no difference. He comes to both and he says, I am the way. But I'm such a straying sinner, someone says. Exactly. He is the way. Walk in him. You need him. But I'm so prone to halt and to stumble. Yeah, and you think he doesn't know that? And he says, walk in me. And dear friend, whatever you do, don't delay. He says, walk. And when the Almighty God of heaven and of earth comes to you and he says, walk, who are you to delay? Oh, my friend, don't delay. Some of you here are walking the way, but you find yourself straying time and again. My friend, we never arrive at the point where we can be self-sufficient or self-reliant. We'll constantly have that impulse to go to Egypt, to rely on horses, just to use the language of our text, to depend on our own strength. But dear friends, tonight the Lord comes indiscriminately to whoever you are, and he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Wherever you find yourself, whatever crossroads you find yourself up, don't take a step without the voice behind you, without your guide, without your way. And one thing is sure, if you go with Christ, if you go close to Christ, you cannot go astray. Christ will not let it be so. And if you do stray, he comes after you, like the good shepherd. He comes from behind you, and you hear his voice. Oh, dear friends, hear his voice today. Lest if we our hearts should harden, we should perish in the way. Let us go God's way, each and every one of us, and we will find that goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. We shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Shall we pray?